Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 35 to 41. I'll read verse 35 and you read verse 36 with me. But Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35. On the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, Lord, letting us be in church this morning. Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves and our opinions. Lord, you so we would find you if we searched for you with all of our heart. So please, speak to our hearts this morning through your word. Help us to receive what you have for us. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a parallel passage to Mark 4 in Matthew 8. There are parallel passages in the Gospels where God says, I'm going to tell you the same story, but from a different angle, because I want you to learn the story with this truth, and then I want you to learn the same story with this truth. Well, in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion says, Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus marvels at his faith and hears and heals, showing his power over disease. Then Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Did you know Peter, the Pope, had a mother-in-law? That means he had a wife. Peter was married. I know the Catholics don't like that, but that's Bible, all right? Then Jesus casts out devils and heals people with his word. This is all in Matthew chapter 8. Now, we're going to zero in here just a second. And in our text, Jesus displays his power over disease. He displays his power over the nature. We could apply this story this morning of the disciples and Jesus being out on a boat. We could apply this to a church. There's probably no better picture of a pastor and a church than seeing a boat on the sea, which we would picture as subject to trials and sufferings and labor. The Galilean Sea was treacherous. Storms could literally come up. You can go to the Galilean Sea and the sky can be clear, and they say literally within 20 minutes it can be totally overcast and a storm come. The storms come very quickly on the Galilean Sea. Because Jesus told us that he did not come to send peace but a sword. As Jesus is the captain of our ship, we sail through many terrible storms in life. There have been bloody persecutions, as the harlot in Rome made herself drunk with the blood of the saints through the Dark Ages. There have been damnable heresies in the past 2,000 years. False teachings of Gnosticism and work salvation and humanism and rationalism that have been beating on the ship, you could picture as a church. The local New Testament Baptist Church has sailed through blood and tears, and it will continue to be in a storm until the Lord Jesus raptures us out of this world. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 37 says, There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, I just think this is amazing, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Okay, if the ship is full, that means the water level is in the ship. I don't know how high it was. It obviously is not sinking, but it's full. And Jesus, don't get a yacht picture. Picture an open boat and Jesus in the back of the boat, and he's got his head laying on a pillow. And I think that's just amazing, because I can't sleep on a wet pillow. But if the waves are coming in to the boat, you know the pillow's wet, everybody's soaked, and here's Jesus. I don't think Jesus snored. I snore. Jesus, I don't think he snored. We'll find out. I did not say snoring is a sin. I just don't know if Jesus snored or not. But he's asleep on a pillow, and the boat has so much water in it, they're fearing for their life. Now, if you picture this, those on board become scared that they're going to die, and we learn that their distress and fear led them to pray, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" This morning, if I just took that little verse, I could tell you mighty prayers are produced by mighty trials. I promise you that church down in Virginia this morning that lost their pastor last week, they're praying differently today than they did last Sunday. Everything was fine last Sunday. Everything was just the way things normally are last Sunday. This Sunday, they came to church, and it's totally different. And they're in distress. I'm just telling you, they're praying differently today than they did last week. The trial produced prayer, but prayer brought an end to the distress that they were in, as the Master showed his power and his Godhead. Through the ages, God has used the fire of persecution and suffering to ignite the spices on the altar of incense, and the unbelief of God's children disappeared as they prayed with strong crying and tears, like the Bible says. Now let's change gears. So we liken this ship that Jesus is in with the disciples. We pictured that as a picture of the church through the ages that has endured and the storms of life. And now let's change gears and let's make it a little more personal. I'd like to look at it this morning as a picture of our journey with Jesus as he takes us to the other side. Look at verse number 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he," Jesus, "saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus invited whoever desired to go with him to the other side. And that means what? God initiates salvation. God says, "Anybody want to go to the other side with me?" The other side being heaven. And God invites all. Just like Jesus is getting ready, he invites anybody who wants to go to the other side. If you've trusted Jesus, it was God's idea to save you, not yours. Then, long before you were ever born, God came to earth and died on a cross for your sins. Then a soul winner, or a Sunday school teacher, or a bus worker, or a parent, or a pastor was sent your way, and you saw from the Bible how to be saved. You accepted Jesus' invitation to do what? Go to the other side. Go to the other side. I'm so glad that when we found out that we needed to be saved, there was a Savior. It's God's desire to save sinners. People may not care, but God is sending people and tracks out all the time. All the time. You say, but it seems like some people really just can't stand the Bible or God. It doesn't matter. God's always sending out invitations. Aren't you glad? God wants everybody saved. Everybody's not going to get saved, but God wants everybody saved. God offers the same free ticket to everybody. He doesn't have special seating on this boat like, "All gold ticket members, please line up and you'll be boarding first." Aren't you glad there's no there's no gold and silver and first and second class? If you want on the boat, here's the plank. Amen? And everybody gets on the same plank, same seating for everybody on the boat. He doesn't have a ticket for poor people and a different ticket for rich people. Jesus said, "If you want to sail with me, get on board. If you don't want to sail with me, stay right here. We're going to the other side." Amen. That's your choice. Look at verse number 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude," we're going to break this little verse down here into phrases, "but when they sent away the multitude," that tells me this: when you get saved, there's a group that must be sent away because you want to walk the plank to get on the ship. And you can't walk that plank as a group. It has to be individually. So there's going to be a multitude that you leave behind. and they may not want to get on the boat. That's fine. But for you to get on the boat, you're going to get on as an individual and you're going to say goodbye to the multitude. He sent the multitude away. He sent the multitude away. There's a crowd that you depart from because you can't stay and hang out with the buddies or the family or anyone else that won't take you, that won't take to you accepting Jesus as your Savior. You had to say to the crowd, I can't stay here. I'm leaving. I'm going to get on the ship. And the multitude is sent away, is sent away. Look at the next phrase right after that. They took him. So praise the Lord. They took Jesus. You don't get to the other side or heaven by taking baptism or communion or by anything else. You take him. You take Jesus to get to the other side. They didn't take Jesus and something else. They took only Jesus. John 14:6. You can't be good enough, and the 12-step ladder that they teach you in Alcohol Anonymous is still come short of heaven. Your church or your religion or your good works cannot get you to the other side. You're going to have to take him if you want to get to the other side. Look at the next phrase. Even as he was in the ship. That phrase, as he was. Even as he was. The world has a Jesus that walks arm in arm with them, with every religion and every opinion, and coexists with everything. That's the world's Jesus. All right? The Jesus that captains the boat that gets you to heaven is the Jehovah Creator God. There's only one. The world has a Jesus who is not God, and he's not virgin born. The world has a Jesus that sinned just like they do and approves of their sin. The world has a Jesus that has Muhammad as a brother and answers to Allah. There's only one Jesus, though, who can get you to the other side, and that's the Lord Jesus, the God of the Bible. You can't just take him as you wish he was. You can't take him as you think he is, but you must take him, like the verse says, as he is the Creator and Savior of man. He's not the megachurch Jesus or the boozing Jesus or an adultery committing Jesus or any type of a sin loving Jesus or a do whatever you want Jesus. You have to take the Jesus of the Bible, not a Barack and Michelle Jesus or an Oprah Winfrey Jesus. Amen. You need a Bible Jesus. Amen. The Jesus of the Bible came because of our sins, and he died to pay for our sins. Listen closely. If you have a Jesus that isn't willing to deal with your sin, then you've got the wrong Jesus. Amen? Notice the next phrase in that verse. Watch this. And there were also with him other little ships. Other little ships. Now, keep in mind now, I'm reading the verse and I'm spiritualizing it. I'm thinking, how does that apply to us? In a calm harbor, on a sunny day, there'll always be other ships that float. Listen closely. But there's only one ship that's going to get you to the other side, heaven. There's only one ship that won't sink in the storm that's coming. All the ships that were okay in a calm summer were never okay in the storm. The SS Baptist, it sank. The SS Presbyterian sank. The SS Catholic sank. And the SS Do the Best You Can, it sank. The SS I'm Trying My Own Religion, it went down. Okay? Every ship is fine in calm waters. Okay? Rehabilitation, joining the church of your choice, turning over a new leaf, trying as hard, and all of that will make your life a little better as long as the weather's good. But through the storms, trials, and troubles of life, there's only one boat that's going to go to get you to the other side. The boat with the Lord Jesus Christ on it. That's the boat that you want. The other boats sink when you're facing terminal cancer. The other boats sink when you're facing death. There's only one that stays afloat all the time. And that's the boat that Jesus is on. Look at verse 37. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So Jesus, think about this just for a second. Jesus invited them into the ship knowing there was a storm coming in just a few moments. Think about that just for a second. He knew the storm was coming and he said, anybody who wants to go to the other side with me, get on board. He knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. The people that believed and got on the ship, they had to deal with a great storm in a few moments. The waves beat into the ship. Think about this. The waves beat into the ship of the ship that had the believers in Jesus in it. Okay? So guess what happens to the people that did what the Lord wanted them to do? Their ship filled up with water. Think, when people say, well, what will I get if I sail with Jesus? Will I never have a problem or a struggle or a heartache or a burden or a trial again? Will Jesus make my life easier if I get saved? Look, there are going to be storms until we get to the other side. Storms don't stop. There are going to be troubles until we get to the other side. There's going to be struggles until we get to the other side. There are terrible winds. There's scary waves until you get to the other side. Jesus did not say, who wants trouble-free, storm-free sailing? Jesus didn't say that. He said, who wants to go to the other side? Jesus didn't say, who wants to live without trials? He didn't say that. He said, who wants to go with me to the other side? That was the invitation. The Lord has not offered you a life without tears, but He has offered you a destination without tears. Amen. The Lord has not offered you a life without trouble, but He has offered you a destination without trouble. And the Lord has never told you that there would never be anything that won't scare you. But listen, He has promised you safe passage all the way to the other side. No matter what storms come, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? This morning, Jesus did promise that He would get you to the other side, but He never promised that the winds would never get above a certain miles per hour. He never promised that the waves would never go over a certain height or that you would never freak out on your way to the other side. Jesus promised that if you sail with Him, you were on the boat that would never go down. Aren't you glad? Every vessel has a mark in it that says if the water goes past this point, it's going to sink. Every boat has that. Those who have been in storms on their boats have learned that the boat can take a lot more than I think it can. All of us have a mark in our boat that says full. I don't know where my full mark is. Okay? God sees the mark, but we always think that it's lower than it really is. All of us think that we're full before God knows we are. When we have all had all we think we can take, we've learned that we can take a little bit more. We have learned that. Look at verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I hope you mark these and think about this. Listen, these bold disciples are with Jesus, but they're terrified. Jesus is right there. If there was anybody who we would say, well, that's just silly. Well, Jesus is there. What are you scared of? They're terrified that they're going to die. These bold disciples are sailing with Jesus and they're uncertain, they're terrified, and they're doubting the outcome. And yet Jesus is right there. Right there. The people that decided to go with Jesus said, how can you just sleep when we're about to die? And then they had the audacity to ask the question, don't you even care about us? You don't even care, do you? Listen, if everything's going okay with you today, you think the disciples were stupid for asking that. You know the end of the story. They didn't, right? We know how this ends. They didn't. When things happen that you weren't counting on or you didn't know about or it was out of your control, did you know that you and I do the same thing the disciples do? We freak out and we spaz. Because there's no other word for it. Things are out of my control. I didn't know this was going to happen. Why is this happening? And then we start what? Doubting God. Doubting God. We sing the songs about trusting Jesus, and they're wonderful until the storm comes. In the heat of the battle, We have all said things and thought things and acted in ways that showed a lack of faith and went against everything we said we would never do when the storm came. When the waves are crashing, you're hanging on for dear life and you're asking God, Lord, any time now, right? And yet He's right there like He was in the ship with them. And He's never left. He's right there the whole time. The man who accepted Jesus' invitation to go to the other side, sent away the multitude, set sail with Jesus, then when the storm hit, listen, he lost all of his faith in Jesus. And the Lord didn't throw him overboard. What a blessing. God knows our frailties and He knows our weaknesses. Everyone on board lost faith in the captain. And Jesus didn't throw anybody overboard. He didn't wrap a rope around one ankle to throw anybody to the bottom. Jesus didn't say, well, if you're going to act like that, then boink, get off my boat. Aren't you glad? He could have, though. He could have. Jesus kept everybody on board who trusted Him regardless of their reaction toward Him during the storm. That should help you this morning. That should help you. Whenever I'm burdened and scared and I go to wake Him, He never tells me to, oh, get out of here and leave me alone. I'm sleeping, taking a nap. Aren't you glad? He never says, oh, so you don't think I can handle this, huh? He never says that. Jesus never threw one person off the boat for failing to trust Him in the middle of the storm. And this morning, isn't it a blessing to know that once you get on the boat to go to the other side, He's going to keep you on the boat whether you're a fit crewman or not. Amen. Once saved, always saved. I'm so glad. Once you and I are on the boat, Jesus said, I don't care how you act, I'm going to take you to the other side. Look at verse 39. Watch this. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now you and I, we both know the end of the story, but keep in mind, these disciples didn't, right? Jesus handled the storm all by Himself. I'm so glad He didn't say, okay, all together now, fellas, let's rebuke the wind. He did it all by Himself. He did it by Himself. I'm so glad He didn't say, okay, everybody, let's hold hands and yell at the waves. Some stupid thing. He did it all by Himself. He handled it all by Himself. In their hour of weakness and their total lack of faith, Jesus calmed the storm without them. Without them. In their hour of unbelief, Jesus still works a miracle on their behalf. Can I just tell you this morning, what a God, what a captain, and what a Savior. Amen. I don't have the power to calm the storm when it comes into my life. I can't stop the trouble when it comes into my life. When you can't take anymore, Jesus says, enough, be still. You can go further than your emotions make you feel you can go. You can go farther than your feelings make you think you can go. And this teaches me that when you've gone as far as God knows you can, He rebukes and calms the storm. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 40. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And then just please notice each word. How is it that ye have no faith? That's why we said in the storm, they lost their faith. They had no problem, remember, getting on the ship. Okay, we'll trust you to take us to the other side. But Jesus plainly looked at every one of them and said, your faith is gone. It's gone. One of the lessons learned is when I compare my feelings and my faith. God gave us our emotions. He gives us love, fear, the ability to hate, the ability to be angry, the ability to be happy, guilt. All of our emotions are given to us, and that capacity is from the Lord. But our emotions are never supposed to guide our lives. When we're driven and we're operating by emotion and feelings, listen, we're not operating by faith. We're operating by the other F word, feelings. And your feelings always lead you to disaster and fear. I'm supposed to operate by faith. We're never supposed to turn to alcohol or drugs or social media or sex outside of marriage or movies or food or pick any other thing that people want to turn to in a time of trouble. We're supposed to, put our faith in the Word of God, what Jesus has said. Christian, when a Christian does that, guess what? There's no faith. When they're turning to everything but God. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Everybody see, fear and faith are opposite. I understand that. My answer to my fears in life is my faith in God. And to the degree I trust God and His Word is the degree I'm not afraid. Well, what happens if a nuclear bomb hits Washington, D.C.? You going to speculate about that every day? Well, it's got to be one of the top targets in America because it's where our government is. I cannot live in fear. I'm glad you're catching that. But to the degree I'm fearful and scared is the degree I'm not trusting God. Is God in control? There has to come back to center where you say, you know what? There's so much I'm not in control of. I don't even know if I'm going to get up tomorrow. I hope I do. I really do. But I don't know if I'm going to do that. And I don't mean keep referring to it, but that pastor was taken unexpectedly, going in for a simple procedure. He wasn't even going in for a knife. You understand? He wasn't even being cut on. He was going in for injections. And he died on the table. Lights out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can live in fear. Oh, well, this could happen, or this could happen, or this could happen, and then this could happen, and then, oh my goodness, this could happen. A whole bunch could happen. You know what? God's in control, and my faith has to be in the Bible. And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know what? Because God is my Savior, and He lives inside of me, and I've trusted Him to take me to the other side. You know what, Christian? I don't know how. I just know this. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. That faith has to bring us back to center. Watch this. Jesus asked them why they lost their faith. Why are you so fearful? They had faith in Him when they got on board, but they completely lost their faith. And it is so beautiful to see that when they lost their faith, they didn't lose their place on the ship. They didn't lose their relationship to the captain. And praise the Lord, once you get on board, you're going to the other side. Now look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, that what manner of man is this, that even the wind and seas obey him? Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Praise the Lord, they got there. Amen? Just like he promised. They made it to the other side. That's verse number 1. Who made it to the other side? Listen closely. People who didn't sail well. People who didn't conduct themselves properly while they were on board. Who made it to the other side? Everybody who got on the boat. Everybody who trusted Jesus to take them there. Aren't you glad God never holds us against us? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God never holds my inability to cope with life against me? Because I do get scared sometimes. I don't trust like I should all the time. I do have frailties, and they do show themselves. Everybody who trusted Jesus to take them there, aren't you glad? With all my doubt and my fears and my lack of faith, God's going to get me to the other side. Christian, today's Christian songs are so stupid. I'm talking the newfangled stuff. Songs that say, God believes in you. God has confidence in you. God trusts you. Are you kidding me? My heart is desperately wicked. And I was a condemned sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus saved me. And my spirit was what got saved. My soul and body did not get saved when I got saved. My flesh is wicked, and I can't trust me for 10 minutes. What do you mean God trusts you? God believes in you? Blech. That's garbage. That's self-esteem humanism junk. I trust Him, and I know there's supposed to be no trust in my flesh. Let's end this morning here. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 65. Right in the middle of your Bible, go to Psalm 65. There's so many pictures of this. We could have went to Psalm 107, and they're at their wits' end in the ocean. We could have gone, but Psalm 65 is got another picture of this. And here they are in a storm. And watch this. Psalm 65, look at verse 1. Just follow along with me. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed, O thou that hearest prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. What a name for God. God says, I like to be called, O thou that hearest prayer. O you that hears the calls of base men. Lord, thank you that your ears are open to my cry. O thou that hearest prayer. What a name for God. Look at verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Watch. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Watch. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. Verse 7. Which stilleth the noises of the sea, the noises of their waves, and the tumult of the people. That man on that boat in Mark chapter 5 was Almighty God. Psalm 65 tells me that. The Creator was with them. Listen, the Lord didn't wake up and say, hey, won't y'all settle down? And then rebuked the wind. Listen to what he did. He settled the wind, then he settled the sailors. God doesn't get angry with me when my faith fails. He expects it and anticipates it. He knows my frame, that I am just dust. He calmed the storm, and then he calmed them. You know why? Because Jesus knows I don't calm down until the storm does. Right? If we treated other people like we treat the Lord, they would have tossed us out of the sea. Amen? God's so good to us. We read this morning, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So when life arises, there's always going to be great storms, and we're not done with storms. God's brought us through some wonderful storms, but we have not sailed our last. There's more storms coming. I don't know what the future holds. I just know I'm on the ship that Jesus promised will get me to the other side, where I won't have any more problems. Amen. This morning's sermon is called Lessons Learned in the Storm. Lessons Learned in the Storm. It's not always smooth sailing, but Jesus is going to get me to the other side. This morning, if you're here and you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, let me phrase it the way we did in the story. If you've not gotten on the boat with Jesus, aren't you glad it's a simple faith decision to walk the plank and get on the ship that he'll never throw you off of and that'll safely get you to the other side? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I wish, please, Lord, for each person here, Lord, to be encouraged and helped and blessed like you've helped me. Thank you that in my days of fear,